This is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for them, and the sheep hear their voice. They call their own sheep by name and leads them out. And when that shepherd has brought out all their own, they go on ahead of them. And the sheep follow them because they know their voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Like a sheep without a shepherd, a young journalist named Kira was finding herself increasingly lost. At 20 years old, she found herself searching for purpose in the world's most dangerous of places. This time, her travels led her to Mozambique, which was erupting with civil war. Now, she had a difficult time finding a way to even get into the country until she met Jerry. Jerry was a black Zimbabwean truck driver with a big smile, but his smile became serious as Jerry showed Kira the dings on the side of his truck. "Bullet holes," he pointed out. And he urged her to take seriously the war zone that they were about to enter. Jerry's path into Mozambique took them along a stretch of road called the Boneyard Stretch. It was a broken strip of dried up savanna land, burnt down towns and craters with twisted metal and pieces of bloody clothing, where landmines had gone off and people had been killed just the day before. They were part of a caravan which was being guarded by government soldiers. Now the soldiers, if you can even call them that, they were just 12 or 14-year-old kids with guns and uniforms, two sizes too big. As the sun began to sink in the sky, the worst thing happened. Jerry's truck broke down, and the caravan left them behind to fend for themselves. When the other truckers had all passed, the soldiers, they doubled back, not to protect the wounded truck, but to take the pretty blonde girl that they had seen riding in it. Like a lost sheep, culled from the herd, Kira found herself face to face, not with a shepherd, but with bandits and thieves. Peter, in his letter speaks of unjust suffering. Zones of war are full of stories of unjust suffering. And there is nothing more dehumanizing to experience than profound, deep suffering. And yet there's also nothing more human than struggling with the challenge of that suffering and finding yourself within it. Kira was not about to let go of herself. They took her, and they did make it very clear that they were going to do things to her. They drove her through the savannah to a shack where the soldiers got drunk and called all their friends over to come and enjoy the woman that they had captured, knowing as they drank that she was drawing closer and closer to being fully dehumanized, becoming just another nameless victim of war. She asked to use the bathroom. She was pointed to a back room. It smelled like a bathroom. Piss and feces. But it had a window. And through that broken window, she could see a light. And in that light, she found hope. It was off in the distance. She knew she had to be close to the Zimbabwean border. Steeling herself, encouraging herself, trusting in her own value and in the strength that she found there, she burst out of the back room and tore off out the open doorway, out into the night, her legs churning and burning and the rocks crunching behind her. She ran for her life. It was a terrifying thing for her to run, but she was also terrified to just hide there, sure that at any moment pursuers would find her and take her back, and so she ran. She ran through the night, and as the sun rose, she finally approached a border post, and there she saw a familiar convoy of trucks, and there at the end, there was a little truck with dings in the side. With every last ounce of remaining strength, she ran to that little truck. Jerry saw her coming. His smile again became serious. And he said just one word, "Kira." And recognizing her, he took her and he locked her in the truck, protecting her with his life, hiding her away, and carrying her safely across the Zimbabwean border. Jerry was her shepherd. Like Jesus, he knew her by name. And like the lost sheep of our gospel, she heard his voice and recognized it, and trusted that in that voice she might find safety. Jesus knows his sheep, and they hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls them by name. There's power in a name. When you hear your name, it brings us a comfort that when we don't know where we are. When we're lost and we hear our name, there is this relief that washes over us. Not just that now we have been found, but hearing our name is also an assurance of who we are, of all that we are. A name resists labels and objectification and all of the other things that piled onto us throughout our lives. Our name humanizes us. It humanizes its owner. There's power in a name and comfort in a name. My son Eden was diagnosed with a difficult disease. that would have killed him before he was age 20. But thanks to the miracles of medicine, he's received a treatment. He is a healthy young boy. And so at times, I call Eden a miracle. He hates it. He says, I'm not a miracle. I'm just Eden. He doesn't want the label. He wants to hear his dad say his name. How many of us are desperately waiting for someone to call our name? Perhaps you're waiting to hear your name spoken by an estranged loved one or a distant parent or a child or a friend. How many of us feel forgotten by someone in our lives who should be close, or feel the gap of grief, longing to hear our name spoken again by one who is no longer with us on this side of the Jordan, waiting for them to just call us by name again with their unique love in their voice. To hear that word of love that is there, Craig, Don, Barb, Lynn, Mary, Chris, Matilda, Norm, Roger, Peter. Jesus knows each and every one of your names. He knows them by heart because they are written in his heart. Your names, the fullness of who you are, of everything that you are, is written permanently in the heart of God. And Jesus is calling you by name. But Jesus isn't just calling you by name. But in his life, in his work, in his body, he shows us that we too can call God by name. Jesus. Just like you're longing to hear your name called, Jesus is longing for you to call his name, Jesus. He longs to hear your voice speak that one word of love with your unique love in it, Jesus. He longs to hear you say just one word, Jesus. Well, at Synod Assembly, we heard data from one of the speakers about young people in our country who are fed up with religion and church, and yet love Jesus. There's not enough of us who know and love Jesus, who care for that relationship of Jesus, that trust in Jesus that leads us out perhaps into dangerous places, perhaps into places where we might face the problems of this world, perhaps into places where unjust suffering might show up in front of us and we might be called upon to do something about it. And yet that's where Jesus is, going into those dangerous places ahead of us. And if we call the name Jesus, and if we follow that name Jesus, where it leads us, Jesus will lead us into the places of suffering and call us to love and to alleviate suffering in those places. It is the power of a word. and in the power of that naming, of Jesus naming us, and of us hearing our name spoken by the voice of God and saying, Jesus. Jesus, you know us. You call us by name. Jesus knows each of you in the waters of baptism. Jesus has called you and named you and claimed you, saying, I will share with you my name, child of God. I will share with you my promise, heir to God's reign. I will share with you in my call, child of God. And daily in the waters, I will renew this call and name you again and again and again, so that together in the fullness of our names, we might go out into the world and by the authority of everything that we are, the authority of this holy naming, we will find strength to face the world in love. Amen.